from over these last few weeks and months is Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Of course, we know that word is dunamis, which means power to enable us to do and to be anything that God has called us to do and to be. To do the impossible. To do the impossible. To do miracles, signs, wonders, miracles. It's the ability of God. I said it's the ability of God that anoints us and enables us to do what we could not do ordinarily. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. John the 14th chapter, verses 14 through 18. If you ask me anything in my name, I'm reading from the Amplified now. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, I will do it. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. The way I interpret that is you do the word of God. And church, I don't know, I may insert this in every message I give from now until the new year and on through the new year. I believe I've had an insight revelation from, I know I've had an insight revelation from God on certain things that we faced and certain things that have faced this church. And listen to me very carefully, because what I'm saying is dead center in the Word of God, especially Mark the 4th chapter. The Word of God will never leave you like it found you. Never. You may think so. You may say you didn't get me. The Holy Ghost said I got you. The Word will never leave you like it found you. And I'm not talking about my opinion or, you know, me laying some kind of an idea, philosophy, or whatever. But the true Word of God will never leave you like it's found you. And I've wondered, because, you know, I've dealt with some pretty strong demons in my lifetime. And to be honest with you, some of the strongest demons I've dealt with were church demons. They're meaner than bar demons. I'm serious. Church demons are more difficult to deal with. You know, people of the world, you know, they just melt like butter on a hot stove when you start talking. Yeah, I know I'm wrong. I mean, no matter what they're doing, they may put up a little bit of a front, but they know what they're doing or what they're saying or what they're pursuing. They know that's not the way to live and the way to go. That's why things are done in the dark. That's why people love darkness, because their deeds are evil. But church demons always think that they are doing the will of God, or that they've heard from God, or that they're justified in their offense or whatever it may be. But here's the thing, and I'm talking to myself. I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. You know, we've heard some strong word in this church. And if there's anything this church is not short on, over a period of time, it's in hearing a strong, good, anointed, balanced Word of God. We've had ministers that are not maybe real well known, but powerful in their ministry. We've had those that are international people that have traveled all over the world and have ministered the Word of God. I mean, I could just trip out on names of people that have come to this congregation. And if you've been here over a period of time, you've heard some strong word about a lot of things. And it's the Word of God. But when we hear the Word of God, then we are responsible. I'm not talking about legalism. That's not what I'm talking about. But we are responsible to follow and to flow in that Word. And the thing about it is, when we hear a word and we know that word, and we often receive that word. And I don't mean if we just get carelessness comes into it too. But especially if you just say, you know, I'm not going in there. And you never want to run from the word. You want to run to the word. The word of God will not leave you like it found you. I mean, there are times, it happens every once in a while. I'm not constantly fed by radio or by television, but every once in a while, I'll tune something and somebody will, I mean, one sentence, and I know that was for my spirit. And I hear it. And I do my best to lock into that. Or sometimes I'm passing through the room with the caregivers and television programs and things that happen there. Sometimes I'm passing through and I'll just stop for a moment because I hear something. And I realize, though I'm busy doing three other things, that for that moment, the Spirit of God is saying something. Amen. It's not 30 minutes of something. It may just be 60 seconds of something or 120 seconds of something. But when you know in your spirit that God's speaking to you, then there's a responsibility that comes with that. And that's why Mark 4 said, take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear and take heed how you hear. And I really believe the reason some people get so far off the track, and I mean just almost lose contact with spiritual reality, they've heard and they've heard and they've heard, but they buck up and say, you know, not for me, you know, or I'm not, you know, people get some weird ideas. I tell you, I want to be led by the Word of God. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so what I'm saying here tonight, we need to hear this. I need to hear this. I'm feeding on this. I mean, I'm stirring myself up. The world in which we're living, and we're getting ready to come into a political firefight time. It's already, you know, upon us. And, you know, some people ask me, I say, I really don't know right now. I have some ideas, but I really don't know. But we'd better get the mind of the Spirit on which way to go politically. We'd better get the mind of the Spirit. These last few years have cost us $17, $18 trillion. And we're sending our troops back over to fight ISIS overseas when we got them hanging from the roof here in our own nation. I mean, there's just a lot of things that don't make sense. The only thing that makes sense is God's Word. We don't have enough soldiers, Marines, Navy, Air Force, whatever. We don't have enough armed forces, National Guard or whatever, to protect this nation. This nation is very vulnerable in one way, but our strength, our protection is God Almighty. In God we trust. And one of the things that I want to stir your pure mind up about, really it goes back to this, especially as Spirit-filled believers, we've got the power. You better know that. You better understand that. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood, I like saying it like this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. You're not helpless out on the battlefield of life. You're not helpless on your job. You're not helpless in driving or doing whatever you do. You've got the power. You've got the power. I've got the power. And instead of our mind just going berserk or going, oh my, you know, some people say, oh my God, you know, Jesus, help us. But I mean, instead of just coming apart like a $3 watch, God wants you to get a grip on this and say, whoa, wait a minute. I've got the power. I've got the power in my mind. I've got the power in my body. I've got the power in the faith energy of God that is in me. And no matter how crazy things look, I've got the power to power out of this or power through this. This is the power that was spoken of in Acts 1:8. You have the power to power out of or power through whatever you're up against. And if you don't believe that, then you start running scared and you get all freaked out and you say things you shouldn't say and you don't do things you should do or should not do. I'll tell you, thank God, I'm just, I see it in my spirit. God's raising up people and has been for years in this church that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. And you just stand there with that silly believer's grin on your face and tell Satan to go back to where he came from. Don't mess with me, Jack. Amen. Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. I've got the power. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So you shall receive power. And of course, I've championed and tried to champion the rest of that verse. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And our church is literally doing that as best we're able to do that. And I think I'm just so righteously thankful and proud of our church that's reaching out to witness during these days. And God's blessing is upon that. Praise God. But you know, it's not only just power to witness. There's a lot of other areas. Let me go back to John, the 14th chapter. If you ask me anything in my name as my representative, the Amplified said, I will do it. If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you. Another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby to be with you in church service, to be with you forever, the Amplified says, to be with you forever. You are so much stronger on your inside, in your inner man, than we realize. Never run scared. Never go nuts. Never go crazy. Never throw up the white flag. When the enemy comes in, just say, I've got the power. I may not know what to do. I may not know what to say, but I will know what to do, and I will know what to say. The answer will come. But I'm not going to quit, and I'm not going to surrender. Not going to give up. Praise God. Look at that. I'll send you another helper. God knows we need help 24/7, right? Another comforter. Thank God for the comfort. I was just thinking in this memorial service how that I've seen God in the last few hours comfort hearts and lives. You know, we understand there is a sorrow in the time of bereavement, but again, we don't fall apart. I mean, there's people that quit God. There's people that quit church. There's people that quit on their faith. There's people that quit on their Christian friends because somebody died. No way, man. God didn't die. I mean, there's times we pray for people and praise God they don't make it, but you know what? God's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. God didn't die. We act like God's dead. I remember Martin Luther, you know, who championed the just shall live by faith. The only problem was sometimes he'd slip into a mood and have what they call a dark side, or it's something that he permitted to happen. And he'd been in his study and wouldn't communicate, and he's sitting in there, you know, like a, you know, whatever. And finally, after about two or three days, his wife came by the study, and she said, Martin, why don't you just quit? God is dead. And he threw his inkwell across the office. I don't know if it was at her or at the wall. He said, woman, say anything, but don't say God is dead. She says, about time you said that, Luther. Hallelujah. God's not dead. He's not even tired. Praise God. Helper, counselor, advocate, someone to take our part, intercessor. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Intercessor. I mean, our words fall helpless. It's the intercessor inside of us. Hallelujah. That intercedes. God taking hold with us. Counselor. God knows we need that. Talk to me, God. He said, listen, and I will. Strengthener, I'm weak. Stand by said, where are you, God? I'm standing by. I'm right here. Praise be unto God. I'm ready. I'm standing with you. Over in James, the 5th chapter, the effectual, fervent prayer. One translation said red hot prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Earnestly. He prayed earnestly. You know, I know he prayed an 18-second prayer at the ending of that particular season, but before coming into it, I don't know why, I just breezed over that a little too quickly. He prayed earnestly. And church, we're going to have to get back to doing some earnest prayer. I don't mean vain repetition. I'm not talking about vain repetition. But, you know, you pray as far as you know how to pray, and then you pray in the Spirit, and then you run out of that, and then you run into groanings which cannot be uttered, and most of the church has never experienced that. Most of the church world. If there's anything that's needed tonight, I've talked to 2 or 3 very strong leaders in the Pentecostal and evangelical ranks, and the cry comes forth, the greatest need of the hour is prayer, prayer, more prayer, much prayer. Not just vain repetition, but prayer. Prayer doesn't make God do anything. Prayer gets us in tune with God. Hallelujah. Prayer just gets our spirit in tune with God. You know, God's not a drive-by. I want to say that again. God's not a drive-by. He's a God on purpose. He's a God you can spend time with. And the way it works is the more time you spend with him, the stronger he becomes in your heart and in your life. Makes a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Prayed earnestly. Say it with me. Earnestly. That is with all heart fervency. That's as close as I can understand that earnestly. With all heart fervency. With all heart fervency. I mean with fervency of spirit. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's a long time without rain. Especially in a community that's depending on farming and crops. Verse 18 said, and he prayed again. And I don't have time to go into that. That's not my message tonight. But, you know, it's fascinating to me to notice the first thing he did, he took on Ahab and Jezi, you know, Jezebel. Yeah. And I'll tell you, the only thing meaner than Jezebel is Ahab. I said something. It's time for men to stand up and be men. I said it's time for men to stand up and be, not beat your chest, not the macho thing, but I'm talking about God. It's time to be God strong. It's time to be God strong. I remember hearing it as I was a boy girl. Well, the little lady, she's the one that prays in our house. Man, if I was, I wouldn't admit it if that was true. We need men that pray. We need men that talk to God, men that stand on the word of God. We need men to stand up and be men in our politics, in our city, in our nation, in our marriages, in our church. Not just men to cause trouble, but men that will stand up and stand for righteousness. I mean, some men think that God called them. I remember I've heard deacons say, God called me to be the devil's advocate in my church. And I said, cut the advocate off and you got it, buddy. Man told me that years ago when I was just starting out in the middle. He said, I'm the devil's advocate in our church. You ain't no advocate. You got it right on the word that comes before advocate. You're the devil. Amen. Praise God. We don't need agitation. We need agreement. We need faith. We need strength. We need those that will stand up for righteousness. And he prayed again. And the Bible said he repaired the altar. He repaired the altar. Repaired the altar. The altar was in disrepair. They would not offer a prayer on a broken altar. Only, I haven't said that before. They would not offer, in the Old Testament, they would not offer prayer on a broken altar. Wherever Abraham went, he was known for the tent and the altar and his prayer and his sacrifice to God. You'll notice the Old Testament characters, they built altars. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they built altars. And we need to not only build altars, we need to repair the altars. Amen. Praise be unto God. And so he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth but the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. And you know, that didn't even happen on the first prayer. Amen. You remember he sent the servant, and the servant kept coming back. He said, is there any activity in the heavens? Finally, the young man came back and said, there's just the cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, that's what I'm looking for. It doesn't take a big cloud, it takes a God cloud. Amen. I said, it doesn't take a big cloud. It doesn't take a big cloud. It takes a God cloud to turn things around. Praise the Lord. And the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth fruit. Praise be unto God. There's so many. I am not exaggerating. I've got enough before me here to go for a week. Praise God. How many have a week to say? Well, I won't take advantage of you tonight. I want to just give you some of the powers that we have. You know, that word dunamis, that word power, is not just in Acts 1:8. I mean, I've known that, but I mean, it's interesting. There's certain truths that you study out and they become real and red hot, and then God leads you to other things. And that's a truth that has been real in days gone, but God has reactivated that truth in my life. It's not just Acts 1:8 that has dunamis power. I mean, there's all kinds of power. Power over all, the power of the enemy. Amen. Power to pray, power to witness, power to challenge kings on throne, power to stand up for what is right. And you know, really, the bottom line of anything I've said up until this moment, you have, if you are born again, spirit-filled, you have within you unlimited power. Now, it must be used right, and it must be used on the basis of God's word. That's not, you know, that's not foolish power. But we literally, I'm talking to myself, I'm preaching to myself in the mirror, I have unlimited power. There's things God has called us to do. Every once in a while, I get tired. I get weary in well-doing. I get tired of fooling with sometimes certain people. I get tired of fooling with that. I get tired of dealing with people who don't know what time of day it is, you know, on and off, up and down, in and around. You know? Amen. None of you here tonight, absolutely none of you here tonight, because you're here tonight. But, you know, there's times, you know, and I'm going to tell you something else, and I got another answer from God. The reason there are so many dysfunctional people in the kingdom of God, they've heard the word, but they haven't done anything about the word that they've heard. That's why there's so many weird people in churches. That's why there's so many weird preachers. That's why there's so much weirdness and dysfunctional men that won't be men, women that won't be women, young people that go crazy, kids that are totally out of control. We hear the word, but we don't do anything about it. You hear the word and do something about it, that word will not leave you like it found you. Will not leave you like it found you. There's a calling and there's a mission and there's a job for this church to do. And we can't lose, I can't, you can't, we can't lose sight of that. Unlimited power. Play with that just for, let that expand in your mind. I have unlimited power within me right now. Right now. You say, well, if I could just fast 40 days. No, whoa. Right now. Right now. You have unlimited power in you right now. Power to know. We need power to know. Know what time of day it is. It's amazing how many naive people in our world today, even in the church world, they don't understand. There's people that don't understand how this nation was formed. In God we trust. I know that they didn't have that on the money on the Indian reservation back then, but I'm talking about they don't understand that God raised up this nation. I said God raised up this nation. Some people say, well, the poor Indians, we came over and we've abused. Well, let me tell you something, honey. 99% of the Indians at that time did not know Jesus Christ and were not worshiping the true and the living God. The ships that came to shore up there, the ships that came to shore were God-fearing, God-loving, God-knowing, Bible-thumping people who came over here to serve God in spirit and in truth. Amen. We didn't come over to fellow believers and take things away from them. I mean, I'm not advocating taking things away from people, but, you know, we just don't understand how it was. God brought God-fearing people here. Amen. Got in boats that you wouldn't cross Eagle Mountain Lake or Lake Worth in, for as far as safety is concerned, and came to America so they could worship God in spirit and in truth and do what we're doing here tonight without fear of troops or some kind of a force coming in. Power to know. We need power. If I could reverently say, we just need power to have. Some people call it horse sense. I call it God sense. You know, if you love the Word and embrace the Word and your heart's open to God, it just seems like you pretty well kind of know what to do in most given situations. You know, you leave God out of your life, leave the Word of God out of your life. You're not giving to God. You're not living for God, not talking to God, not giving God time. Get off by yourself. Get weird by yourself. But you know, if we walk with God, God will help us to know what to do. It's amazing how God can and does that. There's power that is supernatural strength. I tell you, the world will wear you out. This world system will wear you out. I'm telling you, I have to keep the word on this every day of my life. There's so many voices, so many choices, so many things to do. If you're not careful, sometimes many of us hear too many voices. Hear too many voices. You can hear too much. Amen. But supernatural strength. Say it with me. I have supernatural strength. Hallelujah. I have supernatural strength. Yeah, unlimited power, power to know, supernatural powers and strength. I also have power to overcome, power to overcome. In the name of Jesus, this world system is not going to overcome me. In the name of Jesus, Jesus has already overcome the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. When he came off of that cross, when he said it is finished, thank God he had paid the price for unlimited power in our life, and it was available. That's why he sent them to the upper room. He said, don't leave without it. Don't go anywhere. Don't try to do anything. Don't go out on. He had sent them out on many preaching missions, but he said, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Do nothing till you be endued with power from on high. Power to overcome. And I'm going to say this tonight, and I believe this with all of my heart. I've had so many friends. I've known so many ministers that have failed and fallen in certain areas of their life. You don't have to fail and you don't have to fall. I know, many lay people and things that have happened there. But, you know, let me just tell you the bright side of this thing is, as a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you don't have to fail and you don't have to fall. I want to say that again. God told me to. You don't have to fail and you don't have to fall. No matter what's happening around you. The whole world's crashing around you. Paul on board that ship. Paul was the only one in control in Acts 27. He said, I've heard from God. I believe the word I've heard. And it shall be as even as God has said. And it was just as God had said. Power to overcome. Power to live in peace. Power to live in peace. You know, I think we need to read and know what's going on. I think we need to hear certain things and know what's going on. There's things that we would not know that are going on because the forces of evil like to hide. And I think we need to know what's going on. But you can't plug yourself into 8 hours of hardline what's wrong with the world and keep your peace. Now maybe you can, but that's beyond me. Amen. I listen and hear enough to know what's going on. I read a little bit enough to know what's going on sensibly. And then I turn to the Word of God and we go forward in faith. Amen. God wants you to live in peace, not in turmoil. God wants you to live in peace, not in turmoil. I mean, you know, I believe in sensible precautions. I think it's good to have a certain supply of food, a certain supply of water. I mean, that's common sense, you know. It's like they've been working on our street for a year. There's times that you don't have access to immediate water. You know, there's all kind of things that can happen. But you know, folks, God's the strength of our life. And I know there's all kind of prophecies. I mean, the world's supposed to go on boom in this August. It's supposed to go on boom in September. One day it will go boom, but I'm still here. And you're still here, and there's still a job to do. And you can get your mind all bummed out thinking about the world going crazy and forget to do or refuse to do or don't do what God's called you to do. He said, occupy until I come. Occupy. He didn't say go hide at the top of a mountain. He didn't say go into some kind of commune. He didn't say do something weird or get in some false cults. But he said, occupy until I come. Witness, win, bring them in. Tell people about your faith in God and wherever you go. Praise God. So power to live in peace. Power. Power to heal and to cast out devils. I believe, I know I'm energized by God to say this. This next week, whenever you hear of somebody complaining, say, let me pray for you. If they're hurting enough, anybody will let you pray for them. Or, I mean, not only hurting physically, but if they're hurting with a member of their family or some member of their family is, you know, has a cancer report or, you know, something of that nature that's going on. But, you know, if you find, wherever you find sickness, could I pray for you? Could I pray for you? That's about as non-threatening as you can get. And most people in their heart of hearts know that real prayer works. Praise God. But we need to know that God has given us power to heal. There's a new healing power that is in this church. And I'm going to tell you, that's part of the power that you have that you may not, that I may not be aware of. There is healing power in every one of you. I said there's a healing word in every one of you. There's healing in your hands. Healing in your heart. Healing in your faith. Healing that the world so desperately needs. There is healing. You're a walking healing machine. Praise God, if I could say it. Signs, wonders, and miracles. You don't have to wait until you come to church. It's not just the preacher man or the preacher woman. You have power to pray for the sick and to cast out devils. Power. Power. Oh, there's so many things that we could say. Power. Power. We're not going to make it without it. We're not going to make it without God's power. We're not going to make it without God's power. Power to pray. Power to pray. If there's anything I believe that the church in general, I mean, you can get every kind of a magazine. It's just, I got one the other day. It's just, I don't think the people, I don't think it's false doctrine. It's not that. But I mean, they were off on some kind of a, I thought, my Lord, if you did everything somebody wants you to do, that's all you'd be doing, reading magazines and chasing rabbits, you know. That's just read the word and obey the word. Do what you can do. Well, Brother Nichols, I need a word. What did you do about that last word you got? Have you followed through with the last word you got? Well, Brother Nichols, I just feel like there's something I need to do. Well, what can you do? What's at your fingertips? You know, in church, I see it. Some people come through, they go through every department in the church. They go through every activity in the church. And then they leave the church because there's nothing for them to do. They wouldn't do what was at their hand to do. There's plenty to do around here. Amen. I'll tell you what, as an associate minister for 8 years, there's many a times that my hand fit that broom handle real good. We had those asbestos tile floors, and they had to be stripped and waxed and polished. And boy, that was a trip too, you know. I mean, but you know what? I had people come by and say, "Why don't you get in the ministry?" I said, "I am in the ministry. I'm doing what needs to be done right now. No one else to do it right now, so that's me. Praise God. That's me. It's spiritual to do what's at your hand to do." And people that God called were busy doing what they could do. David was caring for the sheep. Amen. I could go on and on through the Word of God. People that God called were busily doing what they could do. Why in the world do we get freaked out about doing something that we don't need to be doing or someone else is doing? Do what you can do. And God will trust you with greater things. He'll do that. Prayer. One of the greatest needs that we have today is to pray. One of the greatest needs we have today is to pray. You can announce a lot of things, and we do a lot of things over a period of time. But you talk about prayer, oh, just prayer. Amen. Well, everybody's got a different idea on prayer. That's why you need to come listen to our course in Bible college. Praise God. We'll explore some of that. But you know, prayer is so important. Oh, God, prayer. So it's a discipline. It disciplines us. It quietens our spirit in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I never will forget the story of Brother J.C. Hibbert. He was pastor of Gospel Lighthouse in Dallas, went to be the Lord a number of years ago. But Dallas had about four strong ministers that were on the radio. And man, I just made it a habit to listen to those men of God. Brother H.C. Noah, powerful man of God. Brother Albert Ott, powerful man of God. Brother J.C. Hibbert, and there were one or two others that were just real consistently doing what God called them to do. But people came to Brother Hibbert. He built two churches, paid cash for them, and actually built three churches, if I'm not mistaken, in the Dallas area, and two are in the Oak Cliff area. And those churches are going, the buildings are going on today, the church is going on today. But they said, "What's the secret to your church?" He had a morning prayer meeting. A morning prayer meeting. Met at 10 o'clock. There's no virtue about 10 o'clock, but it met at 10 o'clock. And off the platform, there was a door that would go down into a room that would hold, I don't know, probably hold 50 people, maybe something like that, maybe 100 people. And he said, "Well, let me show you." And he took the young minister over and opened the door. When he opened the door, just a volume of prayer came out of that area. Just a volume. He said, "That's the secret to our church. That's the secret to our church." And God used him as a pastor to be a firebrand for God in the greater Dallas area. And thank God for that. You know, I think of prayer, how important prayer is. We need prayer for us. We need to pray for ourselves. We need that. We need prayer for our companion if we're married. We need prayer for our children, for our grandchildren. Young people are facing strange things today. Things are available through the social media that were never available. Sin's always been there, but you just had to look for it a little bit. It wasn't, you could find it if you look for it, but today it's just right in your face. I mean, you punch the wrong button, you do the wrong thing, and you've got something that can stay with you the rest of your life except for the blood of Jesus. We need to pray. We need to pray over our church. We need to pray. You need to pray. You need to pray. You say, "What can I pray about?" Well, let me tell you, you pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor wife. Pray for the church staff here. Amen. You know, the more you pray for us, the better job we do. The less you pray for, the louder. You know, some people say, well, he's just not preaching like it. Well, are you praying for him? Well, I know I've been, okay. Poor pray, poor preach, you know. Works both ways. Amen. I know downtown we were about to lose that property because we couldn't get permanent financing. We were making our payments. We just couldn't find permanent financing. And so, I mean, I was fighting the demons of hell just to hold on to that property at one point. It's just, this church is such a miracle. It's been such a miracle through these years. But there were little, he not preaching as good as he used to. Well, I guess not, man. You fight demons all week long. You're trying to hold on and do things that you weren't trained to do, and no one else is available to help you right now, and you do the best. No, we're not always at our best. There's times I'm not at my best. I don't want to be there, but there's times I'm not at my best, and there's times you're not at your best. Works both ways. But when we pray for one another, when we pray for one another, we come through. Oh, there needs to be prayer, prayer, and more prayer. And I know there's a prayer you say and there's a prayer you pray. I know the prayer of faith, and I know there are different slants and different ideas. You know, I just cut the red tape and said, I'll tell you about prayer. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Well, what if there's a better way? Well, there's a better way God will show you. Then incorporate a better way, but keep on praying. God's better way does not mean stop praying. Amen. You know what it's becoming increasingly hard to find? Somebody that can hit the deck and pray with you. It's amazing. I mean, we mumble a little bit and then we wander off. It's hard. I'm trying to think. I'm asking God for wisdom. God is going to help us to understand how to approach the field of prayer in a stronger way. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. I need it. You need it. The church needs it. The community needs it. The kingdom of God needs it. We need prayer, prayer, and more prayer. Thank God for preaching. Thank God for faith. Thank God for the anointing of God. But you got to come back. You got to come back. You got to come back. I remember down in the island of Grenada, well, they'd go out and pray at 5 o'clock. Wasn't it 5 o'clock in the morning, Kathy, they'd pray? Man, I tell you, those people would come and have flashlights and come up the road there. People would come from all over, and they'd come for, there may not have been a dozen people there or six people, whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, those people knew how to pray. They knew how to pray. They knew how to call upon God. Hallelujah. Shibarakasaka. Hallelujah. I said they knew how to pray. God teach us to pray. That's what the disciples said to Jesus. They heard him pray and his prayer worked. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. So I'm extending the challenge. I'm not saying you're not praying. I'm just saying we all need to pray more. And we need to pray more effectively. And we need to pray in faith, believing. It's not just noise. It's not just how loud or how quiet. Well, I read my prayers. Do whatever you do. Does it work? That's all I'm saying. There's a prayer you say. There's a prayer you pray. It's both of it. It's all of it. That's what I preach is balance, radical balance. Just do it. Do what works. Call on the name of the Lord. Praise God. I believe tragedy has been averted. I believe we're living on borrowed time and the grace of God to finish doing what God's called believers to do in this nation. You know something that's impossible? I'll tell you what's impossible. A mighty moving of God is impossible in this nation except through prayer. Everybody's strung out on their own toys. People are busy doing nothing. Many times, I mean, Americans, you know, you take the wheels and the entertainment and the sports and the rest of it, they'd go crazy. Cut their water off 24 hours. They go nuts. We're blessed in this nation. We're blessed with food. We're blessed with a place to live. You say, well, what about the poor people on the street? Well, many of them could have a job if they wanted it. Amen. Amen. I know there's an unfortunate time that can happen in anyone's life, but, you know, by and large, you can do something about it if you will. was 14 years old. I was working summer jobs like a man. I wanted to. Amen. I was 13. They thought I was 16. I was loading trucks. They just didn't check it out too well. I had a good summer job making $21.50 a week. Amen. You can work if you want to. You can find something. There's something to do. But I'll tell you, especially in the field of prayer, there's something we can do. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Let me just ask you a question. How long has it been since you prayed 15 minutes consecutively? How long has it been since you've prayed 30 minutes consecutively? How long has it been since you've prayed straight out, flat out, an hour consecutively? How long? How long is it? Let me just throw a total extreme. How long has it been since you prayed 2 hours? Start to stop. I'm not talking about putting God on the clock, but I'm just, you know, when you really get lost in the Spirit, time really doesn't make any difference. You know, really, it really doesn't make any difference. And I have never in my life felt the need of more prayer than I do today, tonight. I've never felt the need of more prayer in our church. And I'm just asking God to show us how to do that. You say, well, I don't think everything's just perfect the way y'all pray on Monday. I don't think it's perfect either, but we're doing it. And I like what Wayne Meyer said, do something lest you do nothing. God honors prayer. God honors time with Him. And the best prayer we all can have is that early prayer before the noises of the day come upon us and consume us. We've got to pray. Do you realize our nation's just that far away from going nuts? Terrorism is knocking on our doors. You said, well, now the terrorists have, honey, the terrorists have been, do you remember Fort Hood? You remember 9/11? It happened. Remember Fort Hood when the man went crazy in Fort Hood? They've been around. They're all over this nation. The only thing holding them back is prayer, prayer, and more prayer to do what God's called us to do. The only thing that's going to bring revival. It's what makes the revival of 93. You say, why are you so fascinated with it? Because I saw things that I've never seen before then or since then. I saw things in people. You say, well, we don't have time. People made time. They made time to do what was in their spirit. It's all that made any difference. It's all that made any difference. I'm not mad. I'm not fussing. I'm concerned. We've got to pray. The only way we're going to reach young people. You can't lecture them. You can't win them by lecturing them. You can't win people by lecturing them. I spent an hour and a half one Sunday morning trying to warn people what was coming in all of this health thing. Remember, I set up the table over here and took time, methodically went through all that big stack of papers, and now you see, Pastor knew what he's talking about. There's folks got upset and left the church during that time. They don't want any. We're going to have to not be thin-skinned. We got to have a tough hide but a tender heart. It's time to pray for our nation. It's time to pray for America. I said, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, thank God, pray in the Spirit then. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Well, I run out of that. Well, pray groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever wept? Have you ever prayed until you couldn't pray anymore? Have you ever prayed in the Spirit until it seemed like you ran out? Have you ever have groanings which cannot be uttered? Did you finally just weep before God until you just totally ran out of strength and you were just in His presence? Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. It's time to pray. We have the power. You've got the power.